The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Susan Dellinger from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from Oprah Magazine, March 2019, Volume 20, Number 3. And this is the third of five installments of the March issue. And this month's cover is a close-up of Oprah as she looks down, her right hand held up at her shoulder with her fingers relaxed and curled. She's wearing a white blouse, a wide gold ring, and her smooth hair is pulled back from her forehead and falls just below her shoulders. Her perfect makeup gives her an amber glow, and her lipstick is a soft, peachy, coral pink. And the quote from Oprah on this month's cover is, "Want to hear the most beautiful, complicated, perfectly imperfect word I know? Family." Let's start out by heading over to Let's Eat. And we have one page here called Fast or Fancy, and we have this in every month. And this month we're featuring moutarde paneer. This spice-centered recipe from The Curry Guy, author Dan Toombs, proves you don't need to dine out or order in to cure a curry craving. And they have dishes of this, and they look just absolutely scrumptious. There's white rice, probably jasmine, and it's covered with this sort of tangy golden sauce over cubes of paneer. If you can't find paneer, or it's not to your taste, Toombs suggests rounding out your plate with another protein like cooked chicken or tofu pieces. The goal? A meal as filling as it is flavorful. Now here's the fancy version, a homemade sweet savory seasoning blend that makes this cheesy dish ultra aromatic while pureeing the sauce thickens it up. So, moutarde paneer. This makes four servings with a total time of 40 minutes. In a medium bowl, toss 2.5 pounds of paneer cubed with 3 tablespoons of canola oil, 2 tablespoons of garlic ginger paste. You can go to oprahmag.com to find that recipe. 1 teaspoon of salt, the juice of 1 lemon, and 2 teaspoons of chili powder. Let that sit for 15 minutes, then stir in 5 tablespoons of Greek yogurt, whisked, and 1/4 teaspoon of garam masala. And that recipe is at oprahmag.com as well. Meanwhile, in a large saucepan over medium-high heat, warm 3 tablespoons of canola oil until sizzling. Add 4 green cardamom pods, 2 cloves, and 1 bay leaf, and cook for 30 seconds. Add 2 large onions, finely chopped, and cook until soft and translucent, about 3 minutes. Stir in 3 tablespoons of the garlic ginger paste and cook for 30 seconds. Then add 2¾ pounds of tomatoes that have been halved, 1/2 cup of water, and 2 tablespoons of cashew butter. Simmer until thick, about 5 minutes. Remove the bay leaf. Transfer to a blender. Puree until smooth, about 3 minutes, and return to the pan. Stir in 1 tablespoon of chili powder and 2 green chilies, quartered. Bring to a low boil over medium-high heat, add paneer, and 1 cup of frozen peas, and heat through, about 2 minutes. Swirl in 5 tablespoons of light cream and 1/4 teaspoon of garam masala. Then stir in 1/3 cup cold butter, diced 1 piece at a time, and the juice of 1 lemon. Add salt to taste and top with fenugreek powder. Serve over rice. And now here's the fast version. Want your curry in a hurry? Don't marinate the paneer or blend the sauce and use a jarred garam masala. We like the one from Frontier Co-op, $6.50, frontiercoop.com for stores. Let's move now to the reading room, and we'll read about half of the long reviews of books for this month. And the first review is of the book Bowl Away, and the review is entitled The Fast Lane. An acclaimed novelist's latest is a raucous tale of eccentrics and oddballs. Every now and then, a novel reinvents the language of storytelling in dazzling ways. Think of George Saunders' collage technique in Lincoln and the Bardo, or Helen Oyeyemi's reimagining of Snow White in Boy, Snow Bird. Now comes Elizabeth McCracken's Bolaway, a comic marvel set at the start of the 20th century in which the master stylist uses the offbeat lilt of fairy tales to spin a quintessentially New England saga. As the novel opens, a middle-aged Bertha Truitt is found in a cemetery in the fictional town of Salford, Massachusetts, disheveled and unconscious, cradling a bowling ball, a candle pin, and 15 pounds of gold. A black doctor, Leviticus Sprague, rouses her, but she is unable or unwilling to answer questions about her past. Cutting a defiant figure, she eventually marries Sprague and founds Truitt's Alleys, later named Bolaway, which offers candlepin bowling, a sport Bertha claims, falsely, to have invented. She lures a clique of women to shed their corsets and toss a ball. With her husband, she builds a sprawling octagonal house and conceives a brilliant daughter. Bertha's idol collapses when a bizarre accident triggers a series of tragedies that will ripple from generation to generation, but the novel never loses its buoyancy. With sentences that radiate vigor and joy, McCracken weaves in and out of the minds of her beguiling cast, probing a common history from myriad perspectives and braiding their fates together. From Bertha's long-lost con man son, quote, "the bones at the back of his hand stood out in shadow like the ribs on a lady's fan," end of quote, to the Depression-era boy who sneaks swigs of beer, its tang like, quote, "bread infused with gold, a flavor inseparable from the way it unlaced his muscles," end of quote. Bertha's spirit broods over all, including the hired girl whose anguish steers her back to Salford. Quote, "It was tempting to believe that if you made yourself small and light, beneath notice, you might be allowed to persist nearly anywhere. But meek women were tossed out and forgotten. What women needed to do was take up space, become unbudgeable," end of quote. Bolaway survives as outsiders join the Truitts and Spragues, and decades fold into each other. All the while, McCracken circles back to the mystery of Bertha. Who was she? How was she? With allusions to suffrage marches and UFOs, McCracken's narrative rolls a strike right through the heart of the American epic. The next review is of the book I Am, and the review is entitled Lemiz, An Iconoclast Chronicles His Quirky Rise to Fame and Fulfillment. Back in the 90s, when Isaac Mizrahi was already a fledgling celebrity, fashion insiders quibbled over whether he was a true designer or a dabbler who liked the limelight. But the end of his candid, well-wrought memoir, I Am, Mizrahi puts the matter to rest, pronouncing he is, quote, "a performer, a writer, but one trapped in the body of a fashion designer," end of quote. The only son of a Syrian Jewish children's wear manufacturer and a bookish clothes horse mother, Mizrahi was indeed trapped. For 9 years in a Brooklyn yeshiva, wholly unsuited to his, quote, "effeminate," end of quote, artistic temperament. He repeatedly collapsed on the floor in screaming panic attacks and defaced his religious texts, quote, "with sketches of shoes and hairstyles," end of quote. Bullied and miserable, he retreated into his family's garage and constructed a fabulous glittery puppet theater complete with rocket-like marionettes. His bedroom became a sanctuary where he cultivated pitch-perfect impersonations of Liza Minnelli, Dionne Warwick, and Barbara Streisand. Salvation arrived in the form of Manhattan's LaGuardia High School for the Performing Arts, where he dropped 75 pounds, came out as gay, and landed a bit part in Fame, wearing a jester costume he made himself. At 16, he tentatively launched a fashion line, and the pull of the industry became irresistible. After studying at Parsons and toiling for Perry Ellis and Calvin Klein, Mizrahi gamely ventured out on his own. Life came full circle when his childhood idol, Minnelli, became a client and friend. In 1989, Chanel took notice and invested in his company, a doomed alliance that lost money and didn't satisfy either side. Finally, in middle age, the lifelong insomniac and workaholic established a thriving business with QVC and found love with husband Arnold Germier. Mizrahi leaves his readers at New York's Cafe Carlyle on opening night of his 2017 cabaret act titled, Does This Song Make Me Look Fat? But not before scattering a few choice pearls of wisdom. Quote, "For all the speculation about who I am, what I do, this is the real answer. Just me and the audience and time at a standstill." End of quote. In the reading room this month, we have a long short story, not a review of a book at all, and it's called The Other Kristen. Kristen Rupinian joined the Peace Corps to serve her fellow man, but she found herself trying to best the ultimate woman instead. Kristen writes, "When I arrived in Kenya as a Peace Corps volunteer in 2003, I was the youngest in my group. Life in an unfamiliar culture can be infantilizing. You're dependent on others to teach you basic skills. This is how you dress, wash, use the toilet. Your new language reduces you to baby talk. Please wear bus, please. And you end the day exhausted by the glut of information your puny brain has taken in. Still, at 21, I was adept at dependence and incompetence, and in this case, my expertise served me well. I was assigned to a site in rural western Kenya that was affiliated with an orphans center named Seguli. I would live with its headmaster, Joshua, and his family in a hut without electricity or running water. The site was new, developed by two former Peace Corps volunteers, Kristen and Eddie. Most of the schools, non-government organizations, clinics, and other organizations that request Peace Corps volunteers are embedded in the thick network of foreign aid that permeates the countries where the Peace Corps operates. But Seguli existed largely apart from this network. It was a truly grassroots operation. I liked Joshua instantly. He had a big bald head and a snuffling laugh, and I wanted him to like me, which he did, in part, it seemed, because my name was also Kristen. "What a coincidence! This is very good luck," he said. "You will be successful here, I have a feeling." He handed me a huge guidebook to Seguli that Eddie and Kristen had written. It included 1, 3, and 5-year plans that I would be tasked with carrying out. My stomach sank. When other volunteers went to their sites, many reported having trouble persuading local children to call them by their names instead of Zunga or white person. Wherever I went, cries of Kristen followed me like birdsong. Apparently, we were indistinguishable. As I got off the bus at the dirt road that led to Seguli, I practiced the Swahili I'd used to instruct the passenger bicycle driver who'd take me the rest of the way. But it turned out I didn't need to. "Kristen," he said, approaching me as I disembarked with my luggage, "you are going home?" According to Joshua, Eddie and Kristen were fluent in Swahili and Luaya, the local mother tongue. They loved Kenyan food, always requesting seconds. They were very strong and enjoyed working in the fields all day. In that region, women in trousers was a fraught issue. Joshua's conservative congregation frowned on them. I asked him what I should wear, and he said, "You can choose." When I asked what the other Kristen had worn, he said, "She wore skirts." Of course she did. I was bad at working in the fields. The time I tried, I was so clumsy that Florence, Joshua's wife, snatched the hoe away for fear I'd hurt myself. I couldn't finish one plate of food, never mind seconds. Every meal was so heavy. I felt like a kid stuck in a sibling's shadow. Only this sibling had the same name. Most people couldn't tell us apart, and I was worse at everything. Joshua gave me a Luhiah name, Nabonwe. The other Kristen had been Nangayo. Incidentally, Nabonwe meant roughly, she who will die if she swallows a kidney, while Nangayo meant something like, she who will die if she's hit by a palm leaf. As part of the plan he developed with Eddie and Nangayo, Joshua founded a tree nursery, which he named Kristen's Tree Nursery, then ran it himself because I didn't know the first thing about trees. Still, he told everyone how successful my project was while I sat on the ground like a child, poking seedlings into dirt. Time passed. I kept studying Swahili. The calls of Kristen that followed me were replaced with Nabonwe. Eventually, I had questions for Kristen and Eddie that weren't covered in their manual. I asked for Kristen's email, and I noticed Nangayo was spelled funny in her address. I asked Joshua about it. He said gently, "It's spelled incorrectly. She was still learning." Well, well, well. Kristen, linguistic genius, had spelled her own name wrong. One day after I'd been at Seguli a year, Joshua and I were looking at pictures. I saw one of Kristen Nangayo standing in the fields, a hose slung over her shoulder. "Joshua," I said, "Kristen Nangayo is wearing trousers. You said she didn't wear trousers." Joshua frowned. "Kristen Nangayo sometimes wore trousers, for example, when she worked in the fields." "But she worked in the fields every day. She must have worn trousers all the time." By then, I'd tossed my pants. My wardrobe consisted mostly of ankle-length skirts. Joshua looked at me and said something I think of whenever I'm tempted to compare myself unfavorably to someone else. "Yes, but other times, on other days, she wore skirts." Kristen Rupinian is the author of the short story collection, You Know You Want This. Let's look now at Love That, O Spring Fashion Look book. Love a breath of fresh air? So does your wardrobe. Creative director Adam Glassman is here to help keep your style in step with the season's most striking trends. And the striking trend on the first page is neons. Against a background of neon yellow, orange, and kind of an intense pastel pink, we have a model wearing a neon dark orange, slender, close-fitting pair of capri pants. They're hemmed just above the ankle. The matching neon orange two-button jacket has a notched collar and is a sporty, slightly short length that hits top of the hip. A bold neon yellow tank top keeps the volume turned up on this outfit, which is ready to play with its chunky white Reebok athletic shoes with neon orange stripes. Color Your World is their subheading here. The scoop on dazzling hues, they're even better worn together. Choose equally bold shades, then mix and match with abandon, and you can't go wrong. And if you really like your colors hot, keep looking. The blazer, this neon orange blazer, is $495, and the pants are $345 at Theory.com. The tank top is $495 at Cushiony.com. The sneakers are $80 at Reebok.com. And when we turn the page, that page is just as vibrant. with more neon orange, yellow, and pink. And the heading reads, "The Bright Stuff. Clothes and accessories in a bouquet of vivid shades graced the runways and are a surefire way to stand out this season." And it's all based, this page is based on a look from Stella McCartney's Spring 2019 show. The outfit shown here is a vibrant neon orange outfit in a soft gauzy fabric, which the bottoms have been used to make almost like a pajama type pant, so they're loose fitting. And a matching fabric has been used for the very slender top with its princess seams and its slender sleeves and a peplum like effect that goes from the waist to just below the hip line so that it kind of flares out a little bit. And now some of the items that have been curated for us by Adam Glassman. In the middle of the page, we have some color-blocked trousers. That is, they have slightly full legs. And the color blocking is in intense neon magenta and an orange that's so dark that it's almost red. The trousers are Beyond Proper by Boston Proper, and they're $90. And go to bostonproper.com to see them. Then we have a necklace at the top, which is faceted round stones in just about every shade, pink, lavender, pale blue, green, orange. And they are just sort of hooked together like solitaires, diamond solitaire rings, if you will, in gold tone. It's $390 at RoxanneAsoulin.com. We have a nice deep tote here from lesportsac.com, kind of a shiny maybe vinyl look with a long fabric handle stitched all the way down the front and back of the tote and in the same color. They've got that deep orange that's almost fire engine red, a bright pink, and yellow. They're $40 each. And then we have an orange tank top. It's ribbed and it's really inset at the sleeves and it has lace-ups from the hem to just about the waist level in an orange thread and little eyelets. It's from H&M and it's $35. In the center of the page, we have a lemon yellow double-breasted blazer with a real narrow lapel and a notched collar and tortoiseshell buttons. It is from Worthington, and it's $70 at JCPenney. Next up is an orange skirt, and this is kind of a slender skirt, and it has two panels that overlap asymmetrically on the front, leaving quite a revealing opening in the front from the knee to probably mid-thigh. It's $425 at Millie.com. And here are a couple of dazzling shoe selections to keep up with all this volume of color. We have a stiletto sandal with a red patent heel and an ankle strap. It has a pink little 3/4-inch strap that goes across the toes and then a pale lemon yellow on the open footbed at the toe. It's from Aldo and it's $80. Go to aldoshoes.com for that high-heeled sandal. And next is an orange slide with just about a 2-inch wide orange strap that goes across the toes. And it's got a little 2-inch heel on it. And the heel is a ball, essentially. And it's set in a tiny bit. And these shoes are $495 at Alchemia de Ballen. And go to shopbop.com for that little orange slide. And we have some earrings here from KendraScott.com. It's a brushed gold tone geometric with a bright pink onyx look combination. And like I said, those are $110. And now, more bright colors under the heading Logomania brand names are front and center on graphic, colorful handbags. With kind of an envelope top in red and white, with so big and so geometric that you have to stop and look at it to realize that Kors is spelled out in red on white. And that envelope flap folds over onto a red and white, smaller geometric pattern. So that's your shoulder bag with a red leather strap in combination with gold chain, and it has a gold tone clasp on it. So Michael Kors, $328 bag, and go to michaelkors.com. And below that is a lime green Louis Vuitton flat tote size bag, and it has this deep purple geometric pattern on it with the Louis Vuitton logo and a little black and white geometric pattern handles. That will be available in April and no price is listed. And finally, sort of a doctor's bag, satchel type pocketbook in white with bright lettering on it for Dooney and Burke. You have to look through all of this. Some of the O's are replaced with heart shapes or stars, and it's different font faces and different colors, red handle and a red shoulder strap, and that is $238 at Dooney.com. The next page in Love That, in Spring, the Spring Fashion Book, is much more subdued, and we're looking at whites and navies and reds, and the heading is Make Waves. It's easy to get swept away by the nautical trend. Sailor-inspired blazers and tops are crisp and classic, while scarf prints add a feminine twist to the vibe. And this is based on the Mons Spring 2019 runway look, and we have a model wearing a white silky fabric dress with large brown and black knotted rope motif sort of dancing all over this. It's a halter dress with bare shoulders and a slit that goes, well, all the way up the thigh. And one of the first items on this page is a white double-breasted crisp jacket. It has six buttons in tortoise. It has a lapel that's a tiny bit wider than the collar, but it's kind of a wide look, not a narrow look like the blazer we were looking at on the previous page. It has nice flap pockets sitting kind of on the hip. And it is from Lauren Ralph Lauren, and it's $295, and you can go to Macy's.com to find it. Underneath that is a white shell with horizontal red and navy blue stripes, and it's $80 from Talbots.com. Next up is a yellow leather rattan weave circle bag with a short handle plus a shoulder strap. And like I said, this is in yellow. It's $325 from Brahmin.com. And now we have this long accordion pleat black skirt that has an asymmetrical hem, kind of like a knife's edge. And it has this, again, this nautical theme on it. It's got this gold rope pattern, and the rope is kind of interlocking flags from different countries. So you've got some reds and blues and greens and oranges and whites on here. This skirt is from Sandro, and it's $295 at sandro-paris.com. In the middle of the page is a sexy little kitten heel slingback with an open heel and a black strap. And the front of the shoe is really a pointed slipper look, and it's a red fabric with a white design, sort of a little geometric design, which spells out the word ash if you look really closely. Then it's got a blue bow with that covers just above the toe, and The blue has that white pattern, geometric pattern, that spells out the word ash. And then it is embellished with the circle pen with diamond-looked stones in it. Now, below that is a navy blue sweater from Talbots.com, and it's $90. And it has eyelets around the neckline so that that silk nautical scarf in white with the rope pattern and the red edging, red navy blue edging, is laced through the eyelets. And wear many of these items with a pair of washed jeans. These are $129 from Chico's.com. And they've got a nautical embellishment on the sides. They have brass eyelets, which have been laced with kind of thick cording so that you get two crisscrosses at the ankle of each of these shoes. And another item here on this page is a watch from Bulova. It's a silver tone with a boyfriend type watch with the silver tone band and a dark blue face with Roman numerals, and every other number is a pave diamond. It's $550 from Bulova. Then across the bottom of the page, surf the net. We have three totes here. The latest fisherman bags are a catch. Show your stuff in a completely netted number or go for webbed details. First off, from marymecco.com, is a green open mesh with no lining, and it's $210. The next item is from vincecamuto.com, and it's in a really dark gray, knitted like fishermen's nets with beads at the intersections where the knots are, but it does have a body underneath, like a clutch that fits down inside that net. And then finally, for $310, we have a woven straw bag. It's a tote that really flares out at the top, but it's got this natural white fisherman's net on top of it. And that is at rayfeather.com, R-A-E-feather.com, and it's $310. Let's look at one more page of the spring fashion book, and we'll look at the rest of them in the next installment. When we turn the page, we have the heading, An Urban Adventure. And all the colors on this page are very muted, tans, khakis, olives. Safari style is getting a sophisticated upgrade. Think sleeker silhouettes, animal prints, and simply elegant accessories. The Fendi Spring 2019 fashion show model, who's pictured here, wears a safari look jacket in olive green with huge billowy patch pockets on the front. And from the waist, which these pockets go from the waist to the hem, which is just below the hip. But it's a soft fabric. It's not the kind of fabric you'd be wearing out on a safari, actually. It's very refined. The skirt and the large doctor's bag and the leather belt shown with this are in different shades of celery green. So we have this olive green jacket mixed with different shades of celery. Lots of subtlety in this. In the middle of this page, in the items that have been selected for us from the Oprah staff, we have an olive green safari jacket out of a less refined fabric, and it is from jjill.com, and it's $119. It has this cinched, I'd call it a drawstring waist, and the pockets are smaller than the Fendi runway look, and they're a pleated flapped pocket, and it's all very crisp. And we have a collar but no lapel, and the buttons are hidden behind a placket. And then the next item on this page is a long, slender, off-white, stretchy tank top dress. So it's got a scoop neck and it's open at the arms. It is $420 from Catherine McCarran.com, and it's worn with a dark tan leather belt bag, which is $285 from parisowang.com. And so we've got the dark tan 2-inch wide belt, and then the clutch slides on that, and it has a brass buckle on it. So it's very snazzy looking. And now we have a deep tote, again with this dark tan. This is color blocked. So half of this tote is the dark tan, and the other half is kind of like an off-white linen, so that it's divided right down the middle. And it has a tortoise-look ring handle. The tote is $118 from French Connection, and you can go to NordstromRack.com to find it. And then below that, we have a brushed gold watch with a gold mesh wide band. It has actually kind of like a triple bezel and then a lighter gold face. On one of those bezels, the outer bezel, there's like a pave diamond. And there are notches for 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 9, and has very simple hands on it. The watch is $395 from citizenwatch.com. We have some Pandora earrings for $150. They have, the first part is a large loop. It's very nice and rounded with some little pave diamonds set in it, and that pierces the ear. And then there's another ring or loop that sort of fits inside that one, and dangling from that is a little pendant with a pave diamond on it. Now we have a skirt in the middle of this page, which is a narrow pencil skirt from H&M, and it's $18, and it's a dark brown leopard print, and it's got a little slit up the front. And what to wear with all of these naturals, and olives and tans, strappy sandals. Complete your look with the polish of a heeled sandal. And the very first one has a super tall heel, and it's in a pale tan. And it has lots of straps, maybe a dozen straps, that crisscross across the toes and the middle of the foot. And then it has a strap that kind of comes up and wraps around the ankle. It is $119 at ninewest.com. The next shoe is full of straps. It's a mid-tan, not as many straps. They're a little wider, maybe a half inch. One strap goes across the toe, and then there are straps that crisscross just above it, and then there are crisscrosses at the ankle. And this is a stacked high heel, a wooden shoe. It's from Etienne Aunier, and it's $188, and go to Nordstrom.com. Now we're getting less strappy, less sexy, a little more chunky. And the last one is Sarto Franco Sarto, $119 at Dillard's.com. Not quite as high of a heel. It's a dark tan footbed with an olive green strap that crisscrosses over the toe. And this look, now we've got this chunky heel that's in several shoes in the spring fashion book, and it flares out. And so there's an olive green strap that comes up the back of the shoe and wraps around the ankle. And finally, on this page of all of these sophisticated safari looks, we have 5 different pairs of pants. Smarty Pants is the heading. Behold the khaki comeback, from buttoned up fronts to casually cool cargos to work appropriate belted designs. There's a cut for everyone. The first pair is in a dark tan that is almost teddy bear brown in this fabric. It's called Utility from American Eagle, and it's $50 at AE.com. And it's kind of a straight leg, a little bit of a flare sort of trouser look. And the pockets have been top stitched, so you get the nice big square look of them on the top of the pants. The next pair is a sandy khaki with, again, they're kind of a wide leg, what's called a trouser leg, and they've got the frayed hem. It's called Cadet from Derek Lamb 10 Crosby. They're $350 at Derek Lamb. And the inset pockets are accentuated by 1-inch tortoise buttons. So there are three buttons lined up on the top of the pocket and then another button just continuing that row on the belt or on the waistband. So you almost get a little bit of that sailor look flap with all of these buttons. The next pair is the jodhpur style. And these are from H&M SS Studio Collection, and they're $80 at hm.com. So they're a little bit full through the hips, and then cinch in a little bit more at the bottom, and they've got lace-ups on each side of the leg for about 10 inches. And then finally, we have an olive green, not finally, two more pairs to go, olive green cargo pants. They have pockets just about at knee level on the side of the pants, and they're $198 from parkersmith.com, and they have a drawstring at the hem. And then finally, the last pair is the judo style, and it's from A New Day. They're $28 at target.com. They're just a full straight trouser leg pant with a self belt that ties, so you've got a sash belt. So we got about halfway through the spring fashion book, and now let's head over to the Live Your Best Life section of the magazine, and here's an article about Girl Scout cookies. It's under the heading Change Your World. For hundreds of deserving girls, home is where Troop 6000 is. In most ways, New York City's Troop 6000 is like any group of Girl Scouts. They earn badges, take field trips, sell do-si-dos and thin mints. But when their weekly sessions of bracelet making and birdhouse building are over, the scouts of Troop 6000 don't pile in a minivan to carpool home. These girls, some as young as five, are or have been homeless. As hard as it is for adults not to have a permanent home, the situation can be even rougher on kids. They can't invite classmates over, fearing ridicule. They shy away from new pals. In the shuffle between shelters, they don't have a shelf for books or toys. Scouting is a rare chance to focus on friends and fun, and brings a much-needed sense of normalcy and stability. Meredith Mascara, CEO of Girl Scouts of Greater New York, says, quote, "The troop is the thing they know will always be there, even if they carry all their belongings in a backpack or get moved in the middle of the night," end of quote. Troop 6000 was born in 2017, the happy outcome of a not-so-happy time for Giselle Burgess, a Girl Scouts of Greater New York employee who'd found herself homeless when her rental home was sold. She and her five children moved into a shelter where whole families squeezed into one-bedroom units, and there were no common spaces for kids to just hang out. At the time, Girl Scouts of Greater New York wanted to do more to help the homeless. Burgess volunteered to lead a special chapter for them. Today, the group has served more than 700 members in 15 locations. They've learned coding, met lawyers and journalists at Career Day, and camped in upstate New York, where, quote, "trumpets woke us up every morning," end of quote, says Sine 11. When other troops disband for summer vacation, the girls of 6000 keep on scouting. Burgess, now settled in a permanent residence, says, quote, "There's no break from the shelter. If they're still there, we're still there," end of quote. And they've proved themselves cookie-selling champs to the tune of 32,569 boxes last year. 13-year-old Leilani says, quote, "Selling cookies taught me how to be an entrepreneur and talk to customers, and it taught other people that we're not just homeless, we're making a difference in the world," end of quote. Leilani's mom and troop leader Ebony loves that difference, and she says, quote, "My daughter used to be ashamed of living in a shelter. She'd walk around with her hood pulled down. After a while, I did too. Being part of Troop 6000, that's something to be proud of," end of quote. And here's a call to action, and we have pictures here of Girl Scout cookies. How sweet it is. There's no time like the present to score some Girl Scout cookies. To locate a troop and sale near you, the baked goods are generally sold through April, use the Find Cookies tool at GirlScouts.org. And after you've finished your Samoas, if you want to help the inspiring members of Troop 6000, make a direct donation at GirlScoutsNYC.org. Still in Live Your Best Life, under the heading Make/Believe, an antique instrument gave one painter a new lease on life. Entering Tatiana Navana's world is like time traveling to 17th century Belgium or France. Navana, 52, is the sole painter at the world-famous Zuckerman Harpsichords International, a Stonington, Connecticut company that makes historically accurate keyboards for conservatories, universities, and private collections. For about 25 years, Navana, who immigrated from Ukraine in 1990, has spent her days decorating instruments with a Garden of Eden's worth of Baroque insects, birds, and flowers. She says, quote, "When I arrived in the United States, I didn't know any English, so I took a job changing clothes on mannequins at JCPenney, but I never stopped painting," end of quote. She exhibited her work, too, and at one local art fair, it caught the eye of a friend of Zuckerman Harpsichords International's current owner, Richard Auber. Says Navana, quote, "When he first showed me a few instruments, I thought, I can paint these. In fact, I can paint them better. Now I'm totally consumed with harpsichords. Whenever I travel, I have to go to every museum that has one. It's pure love." End of quote. And there's a picture at the top of her working on the top of a harpsichord. And this one has this kind of creamy yellow background, and she's beginning to paint floral designs and the birds and leaves and stems, and she's leaning over it to paint the top of it. There's an absolutely elegant red one here pictured, and the lid is up, and the underneath side of the lid is this museum quality picture of Venice. And this really looks like a painting you would see if you were strolling through a museum. The waterway is in the foreground of the picture, and then you have boats out on the waterway, blue sky, and then one of the buildings in the background. And then another harpsichord pictured here has little vignettes of musicians playing cellos and violins and trumpets and dancing. That is a 17th century design that took her 2 years to replicate, the one of all the musicians and the swirls and the bows and the feathers and the trees. And then, of course, we have this lid that was transformed into a snapshot of 18th century Venice. On a sidebar on this page, under the heading Pause and Reflect, we have some little tidbits for those of us who are pet lovers. How to support a senior dog in his golden years. Older pooches in shelters are some of the least likely to get scooped up by new owners, but we found 3 nonprofits that provide for oldsters, and you can help out too. And here's the first of 3. Michael and Zena Gooden founded a retirement home for pups 10 years and up in Mount Juliet, Tennessee in 2012. Once a 4-legged elder enters their old friend's senior dog sanctuary, her every need is met, either at the Gooden shelter by one of their on-call foster families. Wish list. Quote, "We use comforters as couch covers and will always take more cleaning supplies," end of quote. Go to ofsds.org. And then the second one is husbands Danny Robert Shaw and Ron Danto opened their Camden, South Carolina facility nearly 14 years ago. Since then, more than 11,000 dogs in need have come through their aptly titled haven, Danny and Ron's Rescue. either finding a new adoptive family or becoming lifelong recipients of Robert Shaw and Danta's care. Their wish list, puppy pads. We go through hundreds of boxes each year. And you can go to DannyRonsRescue.org. And finally, the third one, Kim Scarrett Nelson's 4,600 square foot house, aka Silver Muzzle Cottage in Rapid City, Michigan, can host up to 25 mature canines or those with a terminal illness. Since her first rescue in 2015, Scarrett Nelson has saved 166 more dogs, placing some with new owners. The rest roam in her home. Her wish list? Paper towels, cleaning vinegar, and laundry detergent. I do a few loads of towels and dog bedding every day. Go to silvermuzzlecottage.com for more info. Let's head over now to the Oh Beautiful section for an article entitled Sea Spots Run, Brown Patches, Dark Marks, a pimple that looks like it's sticking around way too long, make them poof disappear with these skin smart solutions. They seem to pop out of nowhere, a small patch of brown on your forehead, a tiny freckle on your cheek. Is it a beauty mark, a blemish, the lighting in your bathroom? Spots of all stripes can happen to anyone, and if you have darker skin, you probably know this well. Kavita Mariwala, MD, a dermatologist in West Islip, New York, says, quote, "People of color are particularly susceptible to hyperpigmentation. There's plenty you can do, but it takes a nuanced approach to get rid of discoloration," end of quote. The first step is knowing what causes an out-of-control pigment party. Essentially, your skin's melanocytes, the cells responsible for giving your complexion its color, are churning out too much melanin. This process can be spurred on by unchecked sun exposure, as well as pollution and hormones. Darker women are especially prone because their melanosomes, think of these as mail carriers that deliver the melanin from your melanocytes to the top layers of your skin, are bigger and release more melanin to begin with. This becomes problematic when other factors are at play. Michelle Henry, MD, clinical instructor of dermatology at Weill Cornell Medical Center in New York City, says, quote, "Inflammation caused by allergic reactions, psoriasis, acne, eczema, or superficial cuts can leave behind patches of discoloration called post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation," end of quote. Luckily, with a little time and care, topical products can fade the spots. And if you need some extra help to clear things up, advancements in in-office technology are giving dermatologists more tools than ever to care for your complexion. So let's get those damn spots out. And here are four headings, four different topics. Become a screen star. You heard it time and again, but daily SPF is a must for all women, especially those who want to get spots under control. New York City dermatologist Carlos Charles, MD, founder of Derma de Color, a private practice that specializes in deeper skin tones, says, quote, "We know that UV light directly stimulates the production of excess pigment," end of quote. Plus, says Henry, any treatment you try will be less effective if you're not adequately protecting your skin. What's more, recent research suggests that blue light, visible light from the sun as well as your smartphone, computer, TV, and tablet, may also cause your skin to produce more pigment. For these reasons, many experts recommend zinc oxide-based sunscreens, which can protect against both forms of light. Unfortunately, they can leave a chalky white or purplish hue on darker skin tones, so go with the tinted version like Rodam Plus Fields Radiant Defense Perfecting Liquid Broad Spectrum SPF 30, $66 at rodanandfields.com. Under the heading Fight Free Radicals, these unstable molecules can wreak havoc on your skin, breaking down collagen and damaging melanocytes, causing them to go haywire. Sunscreen alone can't protect you here. You need antioxidants as well to shield against the onslaught. Vitamin C is considered the gold standard and can also help inhibit the production of Tyrosinase, an enzyme that sets the pigment-making process in motion, says Henry. Slather on L'Oreal Paris Revitalift Durham Intensive 10% Pure Vitamin C Concentrate, $30 at drugstores, before applying SPF. Next, call in the heavyweight. Our experts agree that quinone is one of the most effective topical lighteners. It helps minimize the activity of pigment-producing cells and is available over-the-counter in up to 2% concentrations or by prescription at 4%. It can take up to 4 weeks to see an improvement, and once you've faded them, you can stop using the product. Try Urban Skin RX Eventone Night Treatment, $68 at urbanskinrx.com. And then finally, ask, what's up, Doc? In-office chemical peels that contain salicylic or glycolic acid can be a smart solution. Charles says, quote, they're pretty superficial and typically won't create inflammation, end of quote. Lasers, too, can lessen the appearance of spots, but have been tricky to use on people with darker skin. The latest option, however, called the Pico Laser, can be safely used on most skin tones. Henry says you can expect results in 2 to 6 sessions. Sessions going on to say, quote, the beam moves quickly so it doesn't heat the skin as much, making it much less likely to cause hyperpigmentation, end of quote. Be sure to see a board-certified dermatologist for either of these procedures and request before and after photos of past patients, she adds. Visit skinofcolorsociety.org for a database of professionals who specialize in darker skin. As we wrap up this installment, let's look at some items from the O list. And right off, we have Welcome to the Fold. Monograms aren't just for one percenters. These modern M. John leather wallets will appeal to young and old, punk and prep alike, because your Frogan yogurt punch card deserves a classy home. These are little wallets that zip on three sides, and they're leather, and they come in bright colors, and they have a letter on them. And these happen to spell out, the green one has a pink O, the orange one has a blue P, the red one has a yellow R, the dark blue one has an orange A, and the red one has a black H. They're $74 each at mjohnjewelry.com. That's emjohnjewelry.com. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Oprah Magazine. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Susan Dellinger, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.